live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Eventually, I'm just going to be like my dad. Just like everything is like, welcome to your Young Turks. We give you news right away. Okay. Cenk Uygur, Annika Sparing, Brett Ehrlich's back producing. Everybody appreciates that. All right. So great show ahead. We're going to kick some ass. We're going to show you some results of your ass kicking. Well, that's fun. Hello. Are we winning? Is that why I'm happy? No. You know how it works. Somebody the other day said, oh, are you ever happy? Because they see me on Twitter and I'm constantly punching people in the face. I have like a collection of teeth in my backyard from the altercations on Twitter. All of it proverbial, none of it physical, proverbial, okay, metaphorical. Anyways, I say, yeah, I'm super happy. Until we start talking about the stories, then I rage.
Yeah, let me just note for the record, because it's important. I think confirmation is important. Cenk is an annoyingly happy person, like annoyingly happy. So he's absolutely right about that. Yeah, but okay, I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate sometimes. It. Yeah, I was going to say that I had to come with an asterisk. Okay, all right, listen, we got to do the stories. But before we do, I'm just going to tell you one last thing. Soak it in, okay? Soak life in. Like, I don't know if we get a second chance. You don't know if we get a second chance. You know you got this chance. So why not just live it? You're religious? No problem. What if God gave you life so that you may live it? Okay, all right. Forward news.
All right, well, get ready to soak this in. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin has been one of the most vocal opponents and critics of increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. And now we have a better understanding of his own personal financial interests that are influencing his war against paying people what they deserve to make. Now, Manchin justified his opposition to the $15 an hour minimum wage by saying the senator understands the challenges facing West Virginia small business owners. But Manchin has not publicly acknowledged that he's one of those small business owners. So TYT Investigates did a great job. This is Jonathan Larson's reporting to kind of figure out, you know, what kind of stakes Manchin has in this fight. And here's what we know. Court filings related to bankruptcy proceedings and a Manchin family dispute that went public have identified some of the companies in which Manchin allegedly had a financial stake, including a hotel and a chain of flooring stores. Both companies would apparently have to increase employee pay if Congress passes a $15 an hour minimum wage. Now, the most relevant company in this reporting has to do with something known as either AA property, AA property, and Manchin owns 50% of that company. Okay, so as TYT Investigates reports, AA property is reportedly 50% controlled by Manchin and is an investor in Emerald Coast Realty, which owns a La Quinta Hotel in Elkview, West Virginia. At the Elkview La Quinta, Indeed reports that housekeepers make an average of $8.81 an hour. So imagine if they have to increase the minimum wage there to $15 an hour. Obviously, this would have not only an impact on this business, but it could have an impact on the return of investment for someone someone like Joe Manchin. There are other details that I'll share with you in just a minute. But Cenk, are you surprised by any of this?
Of course not. Of course not. So now these senators have started double dipping. So in the old days, it used to be just that the donor contributions would go to them, millions of dollars at a time. We have nonstop stories about that, including $9 million from Big Pharma, $36 million from healthcare insurance industry going to Republican senators on a particular committee. I mean, they're buying these guys wholesale, super obvious. But now they also have their own financial interests. So you saw Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue just raking in money during COVID times because they had insider information on how they could make more money. So they transacted on the stock market based on that. Their fellow corrupt senators were like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that too. So they let them off the hook, but they did do it. And the voters of Georgia did not let them off the hook, by the way. So now Manchin, it turns out, is fighting against minimum wage, partly because he'd have to pay higher wages. So look, there's two aspects of that. And number one, I'd love to see their books. I know they're not going to show the books to us, but I bet you that this is a well-established, mature industry. It's not a new industry, it's not a young industry. And in those kind of industries, the profit margins are fairly stable. So I bet if I looked at those books, and I'm a business owner and I know exactly where to look, I could show you how the workers could get $15 an hour and Manchin and his partners would still make plenty of money. But they do make more money by paying their employees less. That's just a fact. So every time he blocks a minimum wage bill, Joe Manchin gets richer. That's just an absolute fact, okay? And now the second part of the thing that Anna just read you is the average worker at that place is getting $8.81. Do you wanna know what the minimum wage in West Virginia is? $8.75. Now what does that tell you?
They're so generous. They're very generous. They're paying cents more per hour, Cenk. Be grateful.
Yeah. So whatever the minimum wage is, that's what people are going to pay. Okay. There'd be some mom and pop shops who are good guys and who'll pay more. But overall, most corporations and companies, whether they're gigantic or small, will unfortunately grind you down to the bare minimum. So look at that. They're paying on average, only 6 cents more than the minimum wage. So all of those workers will get a giant wage hike and increase in their salaries if we pass a federal minimum wage to $15. That's why Joe Manchin thinks that's my money. You're not going to touch my money. He's going to vote no.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, we talk a lot about money in politics, and it's definitely a pretty obviously a corrupting factor in our political system. There's no question about that, and we need to get the money out. But there's a second half to that that I don't think is discussed enough, and that's exactly what this story covers. There's a huge problem right now with Congress members being invested in individual stocks, having these types of business investments and ownership of certain private companies. If you want to be a public servant, then be an actual public servant. You have to divest from individual stocks and you have to divest from these types of businesses because clearly it serves as a giant conflict of interest. And you're a lawmaker who's supposed to be making ethical decisions on behalf of your constituents, right? You're supposed to serve the best interests of your constituents. How are you gonna do that if your business investments conflict with you doing your job appropriately and serving the best interests of your constituents appropriately? It's a huge problem.
Right. And Jonathan Larson in this story, and we'll have the link down below if you're watching later on YouTube or Facebook, always check the description box because we got helpful links there, especially to articles that we talk about. Anyway, Jonathan pointed out that he might have interest in another family business. There's some conflicting reports about that. And Manchin proposed that maybe we can do a compromise and move the minimum wage, not to 15, but maybe to 11. Now, you want to know what the average worker there is? It looks like, based on the estimates that Jonathan found, the average worker in that company makes $11.01. Gee, I wonder why Manchin wants to move it to $11. And then he'll get to say, what do you mean? I pay above average rates. These guys are unreal, man. And everybody's gotten so used to their corruption that nobody even questions it anymore. I mean, right. In any of the mainstream, and that's why I love TYT Investigates, and I love that you guys financed it. Have you noticed in any mainstream media articles and thousands of them say Manchin is going to block the minimum wage, but they all paint it as like he's representing his conservative voters in West Virginia, who, by the way, polling shows are completely against him, right? Even the Republican governor of Kentucky is to his left, and they never ever clarify. Oh, by the way, Joe Manchin might literally be making money off of blocking higher wages for you.
You know, one thing, since you mentioned the media, I just wanted to add one quick note to that. One thing that's been kind of frustrating in the coverage of the House bill that just passed, the stimulus package, the reporters are pretending as if Biden's proposal from the beginning was to extend unemployment insurance benefits through June. No. That was the Republican proposal. Biden's initial proposal extended unemployment benefits through September. And now the media is just reporting on the House version of the bill as if like, oh, Republicans wanted to scale it back to the end of May, but these Democrats fought and they got it to, you know, the end of June. No, fighting means that you get unemployment insurance benefits extended through September as originally planned, and don't pretend like, you know, Democrats didn't cave on that issue. They certainly did cave on that issue. I bring it up because it's, you know, sometimes we have these discussions about whether it's just negligence, maybe it's an oversight issue, like what's going on. But they know. It wasn't so long ago that corporate media was reporting that Biden wanted the unemployment benefits to be extended through September. Literally in mid-February, they were reporting that. And now all of a sudden they're pretending like that was never the case. I don't know if they know, but the internet exists. I can look up the older articles and provide the evidence, which I did on Twitter.
Yeah, and politicians haven't caught on to that, but partly because they have a mainstream media establishment protection racket for them. So they now they're just changing facts on behalf of corporate politicians. It's absurd. I mean, the mainstream media acts like it was born yesterday. They're like, oh, the parliamentarian. Obviously, the parliamentarian in our system of government controls everything, obviously. But wait a minute, we never talked about the parliamentarian before. And for Trump, we never discussed it once. For the Bush tax cuts, they fired the parliamentarian and the VP did whatever the hell he wanted. VP Dick Cheney, shocking that he did that. Is anybody noting that? Now, finally, independent media is forcing that into the conversation, but mainstream media was like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I was born yesterday. And so I believe the Republicans and the corporate Democrats when they tell me the parliamentarian rules everything in Congress, even though it never has before. Oh, come on. Okay. So now we got more on Manchin. Okay. So Joe Manchin is blocking the increase of the minimum wage to $15 an hour. It's was slated to go in the COVID relief bill. It passed the Democratic version of that bill from the House. It goes over to the Senate. And there's a lot of facets to this story. Manchin and Sinema said, no, we demand to have lower wages. We do not, under any circumstance, want higher wages for American people. That's just a fact. That's literally their position. They're for lower wages and they want to block the Democratic version of the bill that has higher wages. And it appears that they might want to vote down the whole bill if they don't get their way for their the benefit of their donors. And as we just reported, TYT Investigates shows that Joe Manchin would also personally make a lot more money if the bill, if minimum wage is not increased based on his private businesses. Okay, so unfortunately, not only the mainstream media, but a lot of Democrats take that as a fait accompli. Well, okay, that's it. I guess there's nothing we could do. No, you could fight them. I know, like for corporate Democrats, they're like, oh, fight. No, civility. I surrender. Now, the reality is, of course, they're not surrendering. Joe Biden and Joe Manchin agree. Joe Biden's just using Joe Manchin as an excuse not to do the $15 minimum wage he never intended to do in the first place. But we'll get to Biden later. In terms of this particular bill, especially, and the overall $15 minimum wage fight that continues and will continue until we get the damn thing, well, then we're going to make our case first. Who's we? Well, in this case, it's Rebellion PAC. Yes, I founded Rebellion PAC. Brianna Wu runs it. She runs it brilliantly. And every once in a while, we'll make ads that'll show people the reality. Now, we're not connected to the Democratic Party. We're not connected to anything, okay? So if Joe Manchin cries, oh my God, they're beating me up too much in West Virginia, make him stop, because that's usually how they think. Well, Joe, who are you going to make stop? Our donors are all you guys. It's join, you know, rebellionpack.com/join. Rebellionpack.com/join. Now, well, you'll contribute to this ad, and we'll run it more in West Virginia if you like it. So let's show you the ad and show you what Rebellion Pack's about.
Joe Manchin betrayed you. He could have doubled your salary, but he decided to serve his donors instead. They gave him millions to make sure he kept your pay low so they could make more money. He says the people of West Virginia don't want higher wages. That's ridiculous. Why don't we cut his salary and see how he likes it? Or we could just fire him. Tell him you'll never vote for him again if he sides with big business instead of the hard-working people of West Virginia.
Rebellionpack.com/join. Let's ram that ad down Manchin's throat until he says, no mas, no mas. Okay, fine. My donors aren't worth it. My hotel chains aren't worth it. These guys are really going to cost me. Look, do I mean it? Hell yeah. If I could, I would make the wages of the Senate minimum wage. Then you know what they would move it to? $100 an hour, $200 an hour. They would move it instantly. They would move it overnight. And every single person watching knows that. Doesn't matter if you're liberal, conservative, or in the middle, or any party affiliation. You know, if we made the Senate wages minimum wage, $15 would be a joke. I swear to God, they'd move it to $150 an hour. Okay, so let's cut his wages. And if he cries and he goes, oh, but it's not fair. Oh, really? So it's fair that we make minimum wage, but it's not fair that you make minimum wage, right? So no, let's get to a right minimum wage. And the way you do that is hardball, Anna. You, as a listener from a long, long time ago when we were on the radio, called in and said, and again, proverbially, beat them with a stick and they will do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, what I love, there are two things that I really love about that ad. Number one, the voiceover guy sounds super cool. Like, he sounds like someone I want to hang out with, especially with the tude that we're getting in that wonderful ad. Like, I love the phrase or the line, why don't we cut his salary and see how he likes it? First of all, you wrote that line because that's the way you talk. Secondly, I love it when you talk.
No
like
comment.
That.
No comment. This is a TYT exclusive. I don't know how we got our hands on this ad.
No, it's great, because I think what it importantly touches on is the clear disconnect between American workers and the very politicians who are supposed to be serving their best interests, right? When you have these business investments, when you're invested in individual stocks, when you're part of a group of people, if you're a senator and you have access to closed door intelligence briefings on what's likely going to impact the economy, you should not in any way be invested in individual stocks. You shouldn't have these business investments. And I mean, we're seeing the ramifications of it right now as he's working against the best interests of people, against the best interests of workers, in order to enrich himself and ensure that he gets the highest rate of return on his own personal investments. It's a huge problem. And look, yeah. Joe Manchin is, you know, soup du jour. Right? Like, he's the one in the center of this $15 an hour minimum wage battle. So that's why all the attention is on him at this given moment. But this is a problem that infects almost every single member of Congress. We have more millionaires in Congress than lawmakers who are not millionaires. And that's a problem.
They're so rich, their names even say it. This dude's name's like almost Manchin. There used to be a Republican senator named Ayotte.
Like, I remember.
Yeah, I'm surprised there isn't one called private jet. Look, when it comes to Manchin, look, the internet thinks I'm rich. Look, from the mouth of the internet to God's ears. But if I was rich, I'd put $1 million into this ad. And I would, you know how cheap radio and TV ads are in West Virginia, let alone digital ads? I would run this, I'd put $1 million into this ad and I'd run it nonstop. Until Joe Manchin came and asked to vote on $15 minimum wage, he would ask for it. he would ask for. You know how this is real politics, okay? So whatever his approval rating is, let's assume that it's 60, it isn't, but let's assume that. I would run that ad until it hits a number where Manchin feels it. 48%, he's below 50. Below 50 means incumbents usually lose. 45, I just keep running it. 42, what do you need? What do you need, Joe? Before you realize the people of West Virginia actually want higher wages, not lower wages. So now I don't have $1 million, you guys don't have $1 million, but we all do it together. So rebellionpack.com/join, and whatever we can muster up, we're gonna keep running that ad until Manchin cries uncle.
We gotta take a break, but when we come back, is Kamala Harris possibly caving into demands that she overrule the Senate parliamentarian? I don't know. We got some video to show you. Definitely drums.
Did you guys do it?
All right, simmer down. Let's all calm down. Calm down for a second.
I think you guys did it.
Okay, don't do that. Let's share the story and then people can judge for themselves. We'll be back. See you in just a few minutes.
What to do? You take them out of the office and hit them with it?
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Stick a couple times, they will do.
Break. I want to read your comments because I like them. Elizabeth wrote in on YouTube Super Chat, "I find TYT's photo of Joe Manchin extremely disturbing. I don't know what it is, but when I see that picture with his fingers pointing out, the length and shape of his fingers makes me nauseous." Elizabeth with the most rando comment of all time. Congratulations, you just broke a record. But I kind of like your comment. I kind of like it.
We talk about it. I just want to break in here from the control room. We talk about it every time it comes up. Skip's always like, there's the fingers. There are the fingers. So other people know.
Wow, it's apparently a thing. It's like a visceral thing. The sausage fingers are getting to everybody. You don't want to see how that sausage is made. Okay, Ginger Dragon in red shoes, already a fun name, using Super Chat, already a fun way to participate in the show, says, "Jake, the governor of Kentucky's a Democrat. We worked hard to get him. Pay more attention and you'd like the guy." Well, that's certainly true. His name is Beshear, but we were talking about West Virginia, where the governor went from Democrat to Republican. His name is Jim Justice, and he's a terrible guy and does not live up to his name. But is he still more left wing than Joe Manchin? Even though he's the richest guy in the whole state, he just bought the governorship for himself. All right, FLG says that was about my opening. That was just corny, Cenk, but you know we all love it. And look, I'm not saying that people love it. The people are saying it. I'm here to report the news, okay? The news is I'm corny, but you love it. Okay. Speaking of which, look at this. That's so hilarious. Oh, no. I thought it's the person who just joined on YouTube by hitting that cute little join button. Come on, it's almost winking at you. It's throwing wink emojis at you. Get in there. Get in. $2. You've got $2. But at essentials level, you're getting the posting. Anyway, the people who just signed up. Corn Casper. I just read corny, so I thought it was Corny Casper, but it's actually Corn Casper. Fascinating. Amazing coincidence. Garrett Hughes, Christian Cruz. Casper, what? What, you were going to jump in?
I was just going to say, I wasn't a big fan of corn until people are going to like roll their eyes at this. I've taken a liking to whiskey, and then I realized that the whiskey I like heavily relies on corn. And it's delicious. So I'm a big fan of corn now. Corn Casper makes sense. Go forward.
Okay, fair enough. It might have nothing to do with you, but we'll see. Rainbow Bright writes in, West Virginia had a chance to get rid of Joe Manchin with Paula Jean Swearengin and chose not to. If this does not wake them up, nothing will. The problem is the media. Paula Jean would have won if she got fair coverage. Keeping it real. More when we come back. On the Young Turks, don't pretend that you don't know. Look, it's Cenk, it's Anna. You also know that. But the thing that I'm not sure you know, liking and sharing the stream makes a giant difference. Also takes 1.5 seconds each, approximately. So like and share away. Let's get this progressive message out to everybody. Apparently, people like it. Look at this comment from our member section. Steppenwolf said, "That's the best Rebellion Pack ad I've seen yet." Why, thank you. We appreciate that. I know people are wondering, hey, Cenk, did you write the best Rebellion Pack ad ever? I don't know. Inquiring minds want to know, but look, we're going to have to keep that a state secret. But you can help spread it in West Virginia. RebellionPack.com/join. Come on, let's join in. Casper, go.
All right. There's been a lot of pressure on Vice President Kamala Harris to overrule the Senate parliamentarian. This is the unelected Senate staffer who shared her recommendation that the $15 an hour minimum wage be stripped out of the coronavirus relief bill so the bill can pass through a simple majority as opposed to needing 60 Republican senators. 60 senators with support from Republicans in order to pass. Now, the important thing to note is that Kamala Harris can overrule the Senate parliamentarian. The Senate parliamentarian is not a god. The Senate parliamentarian is not a dictator. The Senate parliamentarian is simply someone who shares his or her thoughts on a certain provision in a bill. And then the person presiding over the Senate, in this case, Kamala Harris, can overrule her. And the question is, will she do it? Now, Kamala Harris, to be sure, understands the importance of a $15 an hour minimum wage. In fact, she says so much during a recent interview that I want to share with you. Let's take a look at the first part. Take a look.
I have been fighting for $15 an hour minimum wage since the beginning of time, it feels like. Most people may not understand that $7.25 is the current federal minimum wage. You know what that means? If you work 40 hours a week at federal minimum wage as it currently stands, you are earning $15,000 a year. $15,000 a year, which means that folks who are working a full day's work, a full week's work, are existing below the poverty line. We have to increase minimum wage. And we are going to fight for that. We're not going to give up the fight, even though the parliamentarian said that it can't stay in our bill. But it is one of my biggest priorities.
She says it's one of her biggest priorities. More importantly, the reason why I started this with that video was to show you that she understands the importance of this issue. And she also knows, as the vice president, that she single-handedly has the power to overrule the Senate parliamentarian. And Natalie Moore in that interview had asked her before she gave you that long-winded answer whether she intends to overrule the Senate parliamentarian. She clearly didn't answer. So there was a follow-up. Let's take a quick look at that.
I just want to follow up. Given that parliamentarian rule, will you use your authority as vice president to include it in the relief bill anyway?
Well, listen, we were very disappointed in the parliamentarian rule, but we are committed to working with Congress to determine the best path forward. And the bottom line is nobody in our country should work a full day's work and work 40 hours a week and live in poverty.
So in other words, no. I know how important this issue is. I know that I have the power to overrule the Senate parliamentarian, but no. I mean, Cenk, these kinds of answers from politicians are a dime a dozen. But what drives me crazy is how insulting it is to people. Like, I don't think people are so complacent anymore. I think they watch an interview like that and think, first of all, I mean, in the first video, she's like, I don't think most people understand that minimum wage is $7.25. No, they understand. I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the country understand. Secondly, if you know it's a serious problem, if you know that people aren't making enough money to live, if they're working full time and they're getting paid minimum wage, they're not making enough money to pay their rent, to buy groceries, just to provide the essentials for themselves, right? Then why don't you have the power to include it in the bill, make it happen, and then do what you did. Kamala Harris went to West Virginia and started doing interviews to tout the coronavirus relief package, and Joe Manchin was upset about that. He had a temper tantrum about that because he doesn't want his constituents to realize what a bozo he is, because it applies pressure for him to actually do the right thing by his constituents. And yeah. I don't know why all of a sudden she's backed off. Cenk, go ahead.
Yeah, so look, there's a lot of good news in that interview. And I'm actually super excited about honestly what you guys helped to start and have done here. But first, I want to give credit to Natalie Moore at WBEZ. Excellent questions, perfect follow-up. So normally, like the Wolf Blitzers of the world will just skate right by that as she gives an, I'm keep it real, an Obama-like answer of, it's one of my top priorities and that's why I'm not going to do it. Well, wait, what? So Natalie Moore, being an actual reporter, was like, wait, but you do have the power to actually put it in the bill. So are you going to? And she gave the same answer, which is blah, 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 which Anna, I think, correctly deduced was no. Okay. But look at this, guys. We've changed the tenor of the conversation. And is it exclusively us? Of course not. Every reasonable, smart progressive out there, ranging from the Warren people all the way to the Bernie people and beyond, everybody is saying several things at the same time, which is because you needed it. One, you need Bernie to introduce it. We've gone over this and he's going to introduce it. Number two, you need Kamala Harris to not rule in favor of a McConnell filibuster on it. And by agreeing with the parliamentarian's advice, she would be agreeing with McConnell and making it a 60 vote threshold for Democrats to include the minimum wage and COVID relief. Now, if it's one of your top priorities, why would you do that? Well, her excuse was, no, the parliamentarian. But now, because it has become a larger issue, and did we have some part in that? Well, some in the press are giving us credit for that because I think it's true. And again, it's not us, guys, it's you. When you're making the videos, you're using the hashtag, you're signing the petition. In this case, it was hashtag Save Us Kamala. Did it trend? Of course it trended. Whenever we do anything together, it trends. We did it with Don't Kill It Bernie. Bernie changed his stance on it halfway, right? And in this case, Kamala's now finally having to answer questions. You're the vice president. There is absolutely no question. It's a point of fact that the parliamentarian does not have any power. I mean, I know that Democrats want to paint it like the parliamentarian controls everything. He was on the grassy knoll. She knows the secret sauce that goes into, you know, every burger. And so, no, the parliamentarian has zero power. Kamala Harris has all the power. And so now she's being called out on it. And now it's a little bit more embarrassing. Now the rest of the press looks into it. But the thing is about Save Us Kamala, and we have the petition too, tyt.com/petitions/Save Us Kamala. We framed it as Save Us Kamala. Why? Because we're like gullible people who are like, oh my God, I think Kamala Harris is an angel. But look, if you think that K-Hive, great, great. But we're not trying to get her. We are actually trying to help her. If she makes this happen and overrules the parliamentarian, she'd be incredibly popular and she'd be super hard to beat if she runs for president in 24 or 28. So you save us, Kamala, and you save yourself. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. In fact, if they think Manchin and Sinema are really going to vote it down, they don't even need the 60 votes. Kamala Harris can have her cake and eat it too. She could say that, yes, the minimum wage is in the bill, and then go, golly gee, there was nothing I could do. Corporate donors don't sweat it. Manchin and Sinema killed it. It's actually a politically savvy move. But God, the donors have so much control. She still hasn't done it. But the more people ask and the more Natalie Moores of the world do great reporting and great interviews, the more we got a shot at this thing. And all you need is a little hope, guys. And I would argue, and now the rest of the press is beginning to argue, you started that fire. You started that hope. So this doesn't have to be negative to Kamala Harris. It could be wonderfully positive to her. She could be the hero that saves the day. But let's not pretend that it isn't her decision, because it most definitely is.
And the thing for me, and I'm sure a lot of people who have been frustrated by how all of this has developed, Cenk, is just how politicians think, and this happens on both the left and the right. This isn't an ideological thing, but politicians seem to think that all they need to do.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Who is pay us lip service? All they need to do is tweet about how much they care about issues. All they need to do is tweet their outrage at how things have unfolded. And we'll be okay. We'll be satisfied by their outrage. Their, in my opinion, performative outrage. But no, you can't tell us that you understand the severity of the issue. You can't tell us that you're going to fight like hell. And then when you find yourself in the perfect position to actually do something about it, you back off and pretend as if you don't have that power. You have that power. There's a reason why she's in that position. And you don't get to pay us lip service by talking about how underpaid American workers are when you refuse to do exactly what you are empowered to do at this given moment.
Yeah.
So that's the part that gets under my skin personally.
Yeah. And guys, it's not like this is easy. You know, we knew it was hard from the get go, but I said it was doable. And it's got a fighter's chance. It certainly had a fighter's chance at some point. So look, let's just last thing on this because it's so important. Anna's right. The politicians are used to doing talking points, i.e. propaganda. And in this case, she says it's one of my biggest priorities. And normally the press then lets it go and then publishes. Kamala Harris says minimum wage is one of her biggest priorities. They never clarify she's the one that's killing it. I mean, isn't that amazing? So the propaganda assumes that the media is complicit and will help them spread that propaganda. And that is beginning to break down. It started to break down during the Trump era because Trump was not part of the establishment and the media went to a different equation. And now people are beginning to wake up and go, yeah, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to challenge them? Because what she just said isn't really true. If it's your biggest priority and you can do it, why wouldn't you do it? right? I mean, it's just such a simple question, but it took so much effort on all of our parts to break this 40-year lock that corporate Democrats and Republicans had on the establishment media. Anna, they did all those talking points because they knew they were going to get away with it because we had no functioning media in this country. But now we do. And look, my critique, by the way, as you might have seen yesterday, is fair and across the board. So yes, that applies to Kamala Harris. Yes, she can change it and be the hero. For Bernie Sanders, yes, he's introducing it as an amendment, but he wasn't going to in the beginning. Okay, so that was you guys 100%. And then now he's introducing it as an amendment, but let's keep it real. Both for Bernie Sanders and any other Democratic senator, including Elizabeth Warren, Ron Wyden, and the others in the Senate, but also for our progressive friends in the House. One senator or six congresspeople can block this bill and force them to renegotiate. It doesn't kill the bill, it just forces them to renegotiate it because there's no way that this bill isn't passing. Joe Biden must pass it. And when progressives, including the House and the Senate, and including Bernie Sanders, and including some of our top allies, when they choose not to use their power, well, that's on them. And that is a choice that they are making. So did it have to do with Kamala Harris? Definitely. Because if she doesn't rule the right way, we're never going to get past the filibuster. But you could block the bill anyway, even without that filibuster. You could just vote no on the underlying bill. And it would just take one senator or six congresspeople to force them to come back to the table and actually start talking about including the $15 minimum wage. And right now in Congress, we don't have Kamala Harris doing what she says is her top priority. We don't have one Democratic senator who's willing to block the bill. Again, not kill the bill, block it so we renegotiate it. And we don't have six congresspeople who are willing to do it. That's very sad. I hate to report it to you, but it is true.
All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we have a wonderful ad to share with you featuring Nina Turner. And later in the show, an unexpected senator is now pushing to squash the filibuster in the Senate. Who is it and what is motivating this person? We'll give you that and more when we come back.
Twitch first. Perzi writes, and corporate donations should be seen as a financial crime. The people in charge of those corporate wallets are just using the corporations to mask their personal desire to fund political activity beyond the legal personal contribution limit. Look, there's a million things that should be a crime. You can give an unlimited amount of money. Sheldon Adelson once gave Newt Gingrich $30 million. It's insane. Yes, it's illegal in every other country on the planet. It's called a bribe. We're all, the national media wholesale is pretending that obvious bribes are not bribes, that they're so complicit, it's sickening. Okay, Trey Fields writes in, been with us for 2 months, by the way. No surprise he doesn't want to increase regular Americans' pay because he doesn't want to increase payment to his own workers. Of course! Liquid Music Entertainment has been with us for 6 months, which we appreciate, and wrote in, my favorite, gotta love TYT. Thank you for being honest, fair, and respectful. That's why I support TYT. I thank you. We appreciate it. And look at Pink Lightbulb, given 1,000 bits, been with us for 9 months. Using hashtag Bezos Bucks. It's free for you guys. If you have Amazon Prime, the freest thing in the world, and we still get the money. That's what we in the business call a win-win. Okay, so everybody rush over to twitch.tv/TYT. And if you got Amazon Prime, it's free for you guys. Otherwise, it's not that much anyway. Frank Morningtree just gifted 10 subs. They're giving away subs. What are you doing? Jordan Yule, does he do deep dive? Yes. Is it excellent? Yes. Is it good? Is it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, including tonight? Yes. Are we going to talk about that in the next story? Because they created a ad for Nina Turner. Yes. So everybody check that out. I like this. Kat Angelina Marie just used YouTube Super Chat to say, love you guys. We love you back. I like them apples. Okay. Little Mac. Ooh, okay. Little Mac, that's a significant super chat. So I'll read this. I'm forced to read it. There's nothing I could do. It's the rules of YouTube. Not true. Cenk, what do you mean ram that ad down Manch's throat? Come on, Cenk. You're going about this all wrong in completely wrong direction. You need to be shoving it up, Cenk, up his fourth point of contact so hard. Oh, sorry, I was just having some of my too strong coffee. I guess you could get it at toostrongcoffee.com/TYT, I guess. All right, so Cenk and Anna with you guys. We got a ton of stuff. Look at that. That's a nice graphic. I like it. It's organic, it's fair trade, it's super lib, and it's super delicious. You can't go wrong. All right, let's do it. So we got a show called Deep Dive with Jordan Yule. It's on Twitch, twitch.tv/TYT. So Jordan comes up with this crazy idea. Why don't we have the audience make an ad? What do you work for TYT? Okay, like that's, we love empowering the audience. I just realized the other day that we've hired so many people from the audience, including John Irola, including the guy who runs our Pittsburgh office. And I realized just this morning, that's mental. Nobody does that. Right? But we did it and it totally worked. So Jordan comes up with an idea. Hey guys, why don't we crowdsource an ad? Now get a load of this. Then MoveOn says, I like that ad. I'm going to run that ad. Okay. Progress is working together, hearts melting all over the country. So, and the way that they did it, this is amazing, is like Jordan would give them options on videos. People say, oh, I like that video. I like this part. Let's take that part out. They're editing live on the air. It is so freaking cool. And they edited every part of this together. And they came up with this video slash ad, which now MoveOn is going to amplify. This is the progressive base. This is all of us getting empowered to drive positive change. And in this case, it's Nina Turner running for Congress in the 11th District of Ohio. Can I get a ninaturner.com/hello? Watch this ad.
Ain't this something? You know, we got people talking about practicality. What's practical? Well, if you're wealthy enough, you can sit back and wax poetic about practical. But if you are poor, baby, practical ain't working for you. Has already been set, and it is a corrupt system in this country that hurts the working people. Are you on the side of the question. Either you are on their side or you are not. Either you're going to take a position and know that Medicare for All is a human right in this country, or you do not. So if it's impractical when people are dying because they can't afford their prescription drugs, is it practical to sit back and understand that every night 500,000 of our sisters and brothers sleep on the streets? Is it practical to continue to make excuses? We are the wealthiest country on the face of the earth, and we can afford to have Medicare for All. Multi-gendered, multi-ethnic, multi-racial movement of conscious-minded people. That's who we are. That's what we are. And we are not going to let anybody divide us. We're coming together to transform this nation. Hello, somebody.
I just can't get enough of that. So here comes hope, everybody. Here comes hope. Now, my guess is if there's a Nina Turner in Congress, we're gonna take bold action. So honestly, I mean, I look at some of those videos. I think, fine, I'm the most biased man in America, but I think she looks like a superhero in some of them. When she's in that long coat, I'm like, that she's like out of a movie, man. She's unreal, and she's got no fear. And that's just the most important thing. I mean, the other thing I think throughout the whole thing is hashtag queen, right? And Anna, no offense, you're the queen of the internet, okay? But she's the queen of politics.
Please stop saying stuff like that. You're the worst. No, I don't want you to say things like that. She's great. I mean, she's got a fighter spirit, you know? And I haven't seen a single instance of her backing down when she's fighting for something that she knows is right. And I think that's what we need. You know, she's just fearless. And more importantly, she understands the importance of organizing. She understands the importance of people power, a grassroots movement, and also a movement that is as inclusive as possible. And that's an important ideology to have to battle against this growing right-wing populism that we're seeing that, you know, pays lip service to the economic anxieties that people are feeling, but at the same time only offers up the worst possible solutions, including shutting down borders, deporting people, dehumanizing people. That's what we're getting from, you know, the right wing and the Tucker Carlson to the Ron DeSantis's of the world. We don't need that. What we need is the real option to the political system that we're dealing with right now. And that's a system that you know, stops representing business interests and actually starts representing people, the people of this country who have built it and who have fought for it and who deserve to have their needs met. That's something that the government hasn't really done in quite a long time.
Yeah. So look, is there truth to the rumor that the Bridgerton series based the Black Queen on Nina Turner? I don't know. I don't know. People are speculating about it. But seriously, it's that strength. It's that strength that we're all looking for and that Nina clearly has. So let me just do a couple of shout outs here. First of all, the moveon.org. I mean, how is that for great? They see an audience produced and crowdsourced ad. They go, yes, we like that. You know, put money behind it. So help moveon.org. Second of all, you could help Nina directly at ninaturner.com/hello. And that's super important. We need a fighter like her who's going to fight for the average person in Congress. And then finally, I want to give a shout out to Jordan. I mean, this is exactly the ethos of TYT. And so his show is called Deep Dive. And apparently, you guys kind of change the world there. You make political ads, it might lead to people going into Congress, and it might lead to bills getting passed. So check that out Thursday tonight, for example, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's also on Tuesdays, but tonight, right after the Young Turks on twitch.tv/TYT, Jordan's up with Deep Dive. God knows what he's going to do next. God knows what you're going to do next on his show. So this is how we do the TYT network. You guys run this place. We're not the Young Turks. You're the Young Turks. But by the way, on Twitch, we're having so much fun. There's so much hype trains going on. I nearly collided the other day. There's so many hype trains. And now, a Nina Turner emote. It happened. It had to happen, and it happened. So everybody's having fun. Emotes. Yes. Love the emotes. So there's several queens running around there. So go check it out. Amazing. Let's get Nina into Congress.
All right, now we rage. This is the story that really got to me today because of how ridiculous it is. So let's talk about Biden's plans for reforming our democracy. The House of Representatives has just passed the latest version of HR 1. This is something that we talked about a little bit yesterday, but it's a critical election reform and voting rights bill. And it does all sorts of really, really critical things, including getting money out of politics, public financing of elections. It makes it easier for eligible voters to be able to cast their ballots. Essentially, this is the antithesis of what Republicans have been doing on a state level and what congressional Republicans have been wanting to do on a federal level. Now, Joe Biden, unfortunately, is naive enough to think that if he tinkers with this legislation, maybe he can get some Republicans to vote in favor of it in the Senate. So he said this: "I look forward to working with Congress to refine and advance this important bill. And I look forward to signing it into law after it has passed through the legislative process." And let me be clear about something. This is not the type of legislation that can pass under the reconciliation process, meaning that it just needs a simple majority. This is the type of legislation that would need 60 senators to vote in favor of for it to pass, meaning that you would need quite a few Republican lawmakers to vote in favor of this. And the likelihood of that happening is 0%. If Joe Biden decides to rewrite the entire piece of legislation to the GOP's liking, meaning he bans black people from voting, he bans minorities from voting, he allows gerrymandering to only happen to the advantage of Republicans, Republicans will still vote against it. I promise you that. But my point here is the only way anything passes in the Senate at this point is if Democrats are willing to fight to nuke the filibuster. Other than that, a conversation about what's in the legislation is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
The Senate is where bills go to die, period.
So, Anna, I'm going to do an honest to goodness prediction here. Okay. So, first of all, though, let me clarify that when Joe Biden says, "I'm going to work with Republicans on this bill," what he means is, I'm going to work with my donors on this bill. Whenever Joe Biden mentions Republicans or moderate Democrats, just replace "my donors" and then you'll have the actual answer. Because Anna's completely right. It's inarguable. This is the bill that the Republicans hate the most because it would increase voting, including mail-in voting, which they think cost them the last election. There is a 0% chance that any Republican senator will ever vote for this bill. So look, do we have a media in this country or don't we? Because every journalist should be writing, that's absurd. There's every Republican senator says they're 1,000,000% against this bill. So who's Joe Biden negotiating with? I'm asking you, for God's sake, is there a single journalist in the country? Who is Joe Biden negotiating with? It doesn't make any sense. Are you guys ever gonna ask him about things that don't make any sense at all? All right, now the prediction. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to use the Republicans and, if they need to, Manchin, Sinema, etc., as an excuse to take out all of the great anti-corruption measures in HR 1. Now, the reason why I said all along there's no way in the world HR 1 is going to pass is because it's actually a really good piece of legislation. So Nancy Pelosi kept passing it in the House, and there's two reasons why. One is half the bill, which I'm going to get to in a second. But the anti-corruption part, she knew that it was never going to pass the Senate. And then it was originally introduced in the Trump era. She knew it was never, ever going to pass. If she thought it was going to pass, there's no way she would have put those anti-corruption measures in. So it was all political theater. Now, oops, they got the Senate to the White House. So now what are they? Oh, we're going to keep the filibuster. We're going to keep the filibuster. Why? Because they need the filibuster as an excuse. Now, what they'll do is they'll strip out every part of the anti-corruption measures. And then all that will be left is the half that Pelosi and Biden and the rest of the Democrats really love. That's the part where we increase voting. I love it too. And it's not because I'm voting Democrat these days. It's because I want more people to vote. That is clearly the correct policy initiative. I like HR 1 completely. But the reason Democrats are going to keep that is because they want to win elections. And that if more people vote, Democrats have a better chance of winning. That's why every Republican is opposed to it. That's why half of this bill is a near must pass for Democrats. So my prediction is they'll strip out the anti-corruption part. They'll keep the other half. And after they're done eviscerating the best parts of the bill, then they'll find a way to pass it. How will they find a way to pass it? What's that?
Yeah. Finish that thought. I was going to ask you about that. How will they pass it? Because there's no way in hell any Republican is going to vote in favor of anything that expands voting rights.
That's right. And so there's no way they're going to get 60 votes. So that means this is less likely. Like some legislative maneuver, like including it in another must-pass bill, but it's a pretty large bill. And this one really has no, I mean, I don't care about its budget implications, but they're pretending to care, right? So they could somehow put it into another piece of legislation, but that's less likely, like I said. The main thing is, no, they might kill the filibuster over this because this affects their own power more than any other bill. And as we all know, they're obsessed with their own power, but that's part of why they wanted to kill the minimum wage before they got to HR 1. HR 1 is supposed to theoretically go first. Now, there's a real reason, too, why COVID relief is going first, because it's COVID relief. But then when they moved to HR 1, they're like, huh, it's good. We already killed the minimum wage hike because we didn't want to do that. And if we don't have a filibuster, we have no excuse. So we'll get caught with our hand in the cookie jar. So we kill that. We kill the anti-corruption measures. Then we vote on the, then we kill the filibuster and we vote on the thing that helps us most. And then after that, they'll probably shut down shop and go, oh, there's elections coming up and golly gee. No, by the way, there is good news. They'll do some sort of bill on the environment slash infrastructure slash jobs because the donors have flipped on that. Now there are more donors saying, yes, actually do something about the environment. That's great news. So they might do that as well. But the bottom line is they only kill the filibuster when the bills that don't hurt corporations are left. And the ones that help Democrats. So that's why, Anna, it's not impossible for them to kill the filibuster. They might do it. And they might at that point pretend, oh, you know what? We tried everything. Golly gee, I guess we're going to have to kill it. And then at that point, it's our job to say, hey, then why don't you put all of HR 1 back?
So all they would need is 51 votes in order to kill the filibuster, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, 50 votes in Kamala Harris.
Right, exactly. That's what I meant. So obviously, Kamala Harris is going to be the tie-breaking vote. I think that your prediction is near perfect. In fact, I wrote down in my notes, not taking a bet against you on this one. Until you mentioned, because I think you're right. I think they will strip the money in politics portion of it out. And Democrats do care about this because it's not just about, for them, right? It's not about doing right by their constituents. It's about maintaining their power. Right, being able to re-win or get re-elected or to have other Democrats win if they choose to challenge any Republicans for congressional seats. But at the same time, and I want to note one other thing. There's a senator who's actually gotten a little more vocal regarding nuking the filibuster, and that's Amy Klobuchar, who recently said, in regard to the passage of HR 1, I would get rid of the filibuster. I have favored filibuster reform for a long time now, especially for this critical election bill, which by the way is also referred to as the For the People Act. So I do think that there's more motivation to ensure the passage of this bill for Democrats because it's more self-serving than other legislation that would actually benefit people as opposed to themselves. But at the same time, I never underestimate the weakness of Democratic lawmakers. So we'll see how this plays out in the Senate. You have both Manchin and Sinema on the record saying that they would not end the filibuster. In fact, Manchin recently threw a temper tantrum when a reporter asked him again if he'd be willing to reconsider his position on the filibuster. He's like, how many times do I have to tell you? No, the answer is no. So we'll see if he's going to remain, that defiant. But I just, at this point, after seeing what happened to the $15 an hour minimum wage in that coronavirus relief bill, I have very little faith in obviously Congress overall, but especially among Democratic lawmakers who, again, love to pay lip service. But when push comes to shove, when they finally find themselves in a position of power to do something, they refuse to do it.
So I watched the movie One Night in Miami. It's about this one night where Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown were all together. And it's a cool movie. It's kind of like a play. But anyway, the part that I love is of course Ali. And when he wins the championship that night, he leans over to the reporters. And this is part of why I love the guy. And he points to them because they all predicted that he would lose and he would lose badly and he won easily. And he pointed to them and said, I told you, I told you, I told you. Okay. So now I told you they would take out the $15 minimum wage. Everybody said it's easy. No way. It's a layup. They're definitely going to do it. It's their top priority. I told you they'd take it out and they took it out. And I did a tweet with that same prediction I just told you guys earlier in the day. And then later in the day, Klobuchar comes out and goes, yeah, you know what, on this one, the one that helps Democrats win, here's corporate Democrat 101, Amy Klobuchar. Yeah, I think maybe we killed the filibuster on that one. Huh, funny how that works. Politics is not hard to figure out, guys. And at this point, I see it in your comments from our members. You have it figured out way better than most of the media in this country. The politicians play these obvious games. If we had real journalists, they'd point out how obvious these games are. So of course, and the Republicans are dead wrong on voter fraud and any BS policy argument they have against this bill, okay? But they're not wrong in saying that the Democrats also want to pass it because it does help them. More voters usually equals Democratic victories. So that's realpolitik. That's why there's a very good chance that they might kill the filibuster, but they will do the theatrics associated with it and they will make sure to take out the anti-corruption parts. I would be shocked beyond belief if they kept the anti-corruption parts. So then afterwards, I'll probably tell you, I told you, I told you, I told you.
We got to take a break, but when we come back for the second hour of the show, I'm going to demonstrate how you should not respond to Texas lifting all of their coronavirus related restrictions. And we're talking about people that might agree with us on a lot of things who made poor decisions in what they tweeted. So we have that for you and more when we come back.
Little guys, I'm just going to jump in real quick. Little bit of drums on that story. My opinion's a little bit different than Anna's.
Jank. We need to cut his mic.
When we come back, oh no.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.